The message for today has to do with the seven trumpet judgments revealed in Revelation chapters 8 and chapters 9. So what I'm going to do is read Revelation chapter 8 verses 1 through 6 and then bring a message on Revelation from Revelation chapters 8 and chapters 9. And chapter 9. So reading from Revelation chapter 8 verses 1 through 6, this is what it says. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. This is God's Word. Grass withers, the flower fades, the Word of our God stands forever. May He add His blessing to the reading and the preaching of it to you today. We were introduced to a seven-sealed book in Revelation chapter 5. John, the apostle, was taken up into heaven and he saw Almighty God seated on a throne, and he held this seven-sealed book in his hand. At first, there did not appear to be anyone worthy of opening the book. Then one of the elders said to John, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Then he saw a Lamb standing before the throne, and he went and took the book from the right hand of God the Father, seated on the throne. The Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb are the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the majestic Lion, and He is also the sacrificial Lamb. He took the book as the Lamb, indicating that it was His sacrificial atoning death that made Him worthy to take the book and open its seals. Sealed up in this book are the things that God has decreed for the final days of human history. There are three series of judgments in Revelation. There are seven seals. There are seven trumpets. There are seven bowls. The seventh seal contains all of the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments. The seals are opened one at a time and judgments are thrust upon the earth. Six seals are opened and then there is an interlude where we get a vision of heaven and the redeemed saints and the angels and all the heavenly hosts are gathered around the throne of God worshiping. The scene on earth is bleak and dismal, but the scene in heaven is bright and optimistic. The interlude comes between the opening of the sixth and the seventh seal. Now the seventh seal is opened, and it consists of the trumpet judgments. When the seventh seal is broken, there is silence in heaven for about one half an hour. The silence is a silence of reverence and awe in intense expectancy. It is a silence of ominous foreboding. It is a silence of attention to the ministry of an angel with prayers of the saints. This angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth. And there were peals of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. We get a heavenly perspective on prayer here. You think that all of these prayers that we pray are just insignificant and meaningless. God takes our prayers seriously. God appreciates the prayers of His people. The imagery here is from the Old Testament priesthood and the tabernacle. Prayer is portrayed here as a sacrificial offering which is pleasing to God. Our prayers, as they are offered up to heaven, are impure and imperfect. But mixed with the incense of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, they become acceptable to God. God has determined that the prayers of His people will play a role in the working out of His program for this world. Here in Revelation chapter 8, God is about to answer the prayers of the saints on earth for over 2,000 years. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom is about to come. His will is about to be done on earth. But first comes these judgments, hailed by trumpets. In the Old Testament, trumpets announced an alarm that holy judgment was about to come. Trumpets were also used in the wilderness period as signals for assembling, for marching, for battles, and for festivals. A trumpet was used to announce the year, the new year, and the year of Jubilee. Trumpets were used in connection with the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. In Revelation chapters 8 and 9, trumpets are used to warn of judgment and to signal the dawning of the kingdom of God in all of its finality and fullness. Now, we are going to take a helicopter ride over Revelation chapters 8 and 9, and then I want to make a few comments about these trumpet judgments. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, the first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. This is the judgment of God on the land and the trees and the grass. In Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, the second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. This is the judgment of God on the sea, the creatures in the sea, and the ships that sail the sea. In Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. This is God's judgment on the fresh water rivers and fountains. In Revelation chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, the fourth angel blew his trumpet. And a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then John looked, and he heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. This is God's judgment on the stellar sky in the heavens above us. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 through 12, the fifth angel blew his trumpet. And John saw a star falling from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. This is the opening up of the abyss of Hades and the subjection of earth to the demons of Satan. In Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21, the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and John heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. He heard their number. And this is how he saw the horses in his vision. And those who rode them, they wore breastplates the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur. And the heads of the horses were like lions' heads. And fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. But the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their... By the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. This loosening of the four restraining angels and the army of 200 million represents the devil and the forces of hell unleashed to ravage and scourge the earth. What can we say? What can we say about these trumpet judgments of Revelation chapter 8 and chapter 9? First of all, they are horrible future judgments upon the earth. The language used to describe these judgments is highly symbolic. And I don't know exactly what the symbols mean, but it is obvious that the judgments are terrible on the earth. The events depicted are still in the future. There are no events in the past, nor are there any events happening now that match what is described here. So they must still be in the future. it appears that the church is going to encounter increasing hostility as we progress toward the end of the age. Secondly, these judgments happen within the sovereignty of God. Some of the things described here in the Revelation give the appearance that Satan is in control and has the upper hand. For instance, in the unleashing of the hordes of demons to rampage and lay waste to the earth, it seems as though God has lost control. The Bible teaches that the God of this age is not our Father in heaven, but Satan. And the reason evidently that he is called the God of this age is that he gained dominion over man in the Garden of Eden. It is the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 who speaks of him as the God of this world, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Jesus refers to Satan as the prince of this world. It is interesting that the forces of destruction that are unleashed in Revelation chapter 9, verse 14, are bound at the great river Euphrates. That is where the Garden of Eden was. That is where the human race was first assaulted by Satan. That's where the first lie was told. That is where the first sin was committed, and that is where the first death occurred. So our world is under the influence of Satan, but God is in control of things. Notice the restraints and the limitations. In chapter 8, verse 7, a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Only a third. In chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, a third of the sea became blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. In chapter 8, verse 10, a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. In chapter 8, verse 12, a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. In chapter 9, the shaft of the bottomless pit was opened to let out the forces of evil, and they were only allowed to harm the people who did not have the seal of God upon them. And they were only allowed to torment them for 5 months. Who puts these restraints and limitations upon all of this judgment? God does. God restrains evil and sets limitations on it. When Satan wanted to attack Job, God said, "You can take him. You can take everything he possesses, and you can afflict him with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot, but you're not to touch his life." This is the sovereignty of the Lord God Almighty. Satan is allowed to steal and to kill and destroy, but he never wrestles God from his throne. And in the days of the blackest darkness, and in the days of the vilest challenge to the spiritual powers of heaven, God still reigns. These horrible judgments happen within and under the sovereignty of God. Finally, mankind are largely unrepentant in the face of warnings and of judgment. Notice Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 through 21. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. The development of sin and judgment follows a pattern throughout history. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 1. When men persist to live in iniquity, God gives them up to it. God turns them over. And sin carries with it its own punishment. L.R. Scarborough once said, "There are 600 warnings in the Bible about hell. If a man were going down a road and there were 600 signs that said, 'This road leads to hell,' by the time a man got there, it would be because of his own choice. It would be of his own volition that he went to hell. The warnings of judgment are there. This is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ has made a substitutionary atonement for sinners. And if you are here today and you recognize that you are a sinner, then you are a candidate for the salvation that is found in the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If God has given you grace to recognize your lost condition, then repent of your sins and look to Jesus Christ and receive His gift of salvation. Let's pray.